The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasting. You can also find us on Podcast One. You are listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, what is going on, my man?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. As we talked off the air, I've got another cold. I get a cold basically every 3 weeks, such is life with having young ones running around at home. And, you just got to find another gear and move on. So that's what I will do. We talked a little bit last week. I'll just open the show with some NBA because I want to get into NFL stuff. We're not really into our intense NFL season previews. I think we're going to probably be getting to those in June, maybe a little bit before then. They're not the favorite thing for neither Brad nor I. It can get a little bit of a grind, but it does have a lot of information in there for bettors and for daily fantasy players and for gamblers. So we'll go through them. We'll try to make them a little bit more interesting. They were a little bit too, formulatic and stiff last year. Would you agree with that, Brad?
Yeah, a little bit.
We'll try to loosen them up somehow, but it's a lot of content. You're getting through 32 teams. You're trying to do one division a week. You're trying to keep the podcast to about 45 minutes or less. It can be a challenge, but we'll figure it out. We'll get through it. But before we get into all that, I wanted to talk. So I was looking, BovadaSportsbook.com obviously is coming out with a ton of articles, about the NBA and everything. And I wasn't shocked. I was talking with Sam last week on the Functional Sportsaholic podcast, and we were kind of going into the NBA playoffs. I got to say, I wasn't shocked that Golden State closed it out in six games against Houston. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, just the fact that Houston can win any of those games is an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, and I know Durant was out, everybody's saying that, but here's the way I saw the game. And I think I got it right. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the tape. But I don't think I took Houston in a single game to cover the spread.
Series. Why would you?
I know. It's like what we always talk about. Do you really bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Do you do that? I did it in the playoffs, and I felt like such an ass when I came on the next week,
No kidding. It's like you're trying to outthink the room and get too cute,
Yeah.
Look, no one's saying that Houston, should have been swept. Not at all. I mean, they won two games, and that's about right. But when it comes down to it, why would you bet against Golden State?
Exactly.
And Sean, about that game, okay? I don't know if you remember or the listeners out there remember this. There must have been about 6 minutes left. And I believe the Rockets were up 7, and they had a 3-on-1 break, right? And the guy, I forget who was dribbling the ball, all right? But there was a 3-on-1 break. The Rockets had the ball, and whoever had the ball stopped the break, and he just pulled up. And the two guys on the wing were confused, okay? Everybody was confused. It was so deflating. They ended up turning the ball over, and Golden State came back and hit a three. It was like a 5-point swing in about 10 seconds. And as soon as that happened, I thought, yep, that was it. Because if they would have stuffed one home on that break, they would have been up 9, the place would have been rocking, and it would have been a different story. It's like in football when you're in a close battle and you just overthrow the guy who's wide open, it's like that one moment where it's like this. You could have had it. You could have had it all going, and you blew it, and it's like you ain't getting it back. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, those moments, and those are the things that the analytics, by the way, don't pick up.
Right.
That's why in this show we're not about analytics 100%. We're feed them in where they make sense, but there's still the human element.
Well said.
I hear you, man. I hear you, And another thing about that too, that game, and Durant was out. I think Barkley came out. I was watching Hurd, and Hurd, showed a thing where Barkley said, basically, Golden State has no chance anymore. Well, remember, Golden State won the finals.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, Golden State won the finals before Durant was there. That was my big beef with Durant going to Golden State in the first place. This year he was already joining the best team, And so I thought that, because everything out there now is that Durant's the best player in the NBA and all this stuff. I thought that psychologically, Golden State, the players there must be thinking to themselves like, hey, we were pretty good before Durant came. I think we can win. So when I saw game six, all I could think about was you know, if I'm Steph Curry, maybe now's my moment to just remind everybody that I'm Steph Curry, you know?
Oh, exactly. And that's what he did, right?
Maybe not so much in the first half, but the second half, he just kind of took the game by storm. But that's what great players do, right?
Think about how good Golden State is. Kevin Durant is out.
Yeah.
Steph Curry has 0 points in the first half, and they're still tied. Right? I mean,
I know. Look, that's,
they won
isn't
73
that...
games without Durant. Come on, Charles Barkley, that was the dumbest take I've ever heard anyone have.
Totally. And that's a great point, is that, you know, Houston, because, you know, you go and you look through the game and Steph Curry's not having that great of a game, and then the score is close. That shouldn't be the case.
That should not be the case.
And it's Steph Curry, man. It's like, you know, not to compare the two because Michael Jordan is better, but, you know, it's like, you know, Michael Jordan's not going to end the game scoreless. He's going to get baskets at some point. So you better have a lead.
Right. The average is going to happen. And think about how asinine Barkley's comments were. Okay. Kevin Durant, many would argue, is the best player in the league. Right. All right. So even if LeBron is still number two, Steph Curry is either three or four, depending on whether or not you like Harden. Right.
Sure.
And then if you trickle down maybe one more, you got Giannis. And then number six on that list might be Klay Thompson. I don't know. Right? I mean, he's definitely top 20.
Yeah, and you got Kawhi in there, obviously, Kawhi Leonard. But yeah,
and Kawhi, yes. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I know.
But that guy is incredible. I mean, I think it's safe to say they have three of the top 20 players in the league on their starting lineup. Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, you get Draymond Green on the right team in the right system could be a top 20 player, too. I mean, I don't know. Right. It's like we don't, you know, we assume that Draymond's pretty good, but you don't really know how good he is. I think he'd be pretty damn good on a team. I think if Draymond was paired up with somebody like LeBron, I think that would be a monster combination. You know, somebody that could get tough baskets, could stretch the floor if he needed to. Like, everybody's talking about Anthony Davis. If you put Draymond Green together, I know this is like, you know, fantasy land, but if you put LeBron and Draymond Green together, maybe somebody like J.J. Redick to shoot, and then maybe one more, you know, I don't even think you need another A player.
You know, I disagree slightly. I don't think Draymond Green's a bad player. I think he's very good, but I think he really excels when he gets to play the role that he's afforded within that team. I don't think you want someone like Draymond Green having to lead a team.
Agreed.
I think that if he has a role like Rodman, you don't want Rodman to come up with anything substantial. But if you want him in there to irritate and get rebounds and be a bit of a bruiser and a nuisance, then he fits perfectly.
Yeah, and that's why I think like LeBron, you know, he wouldn't have to carry a team, and I think he wouldn't be the B player in that scenario. Or, you know, if he went to like Milwaukee, I think he might be a free agent coming up. I know he's coming up soon. If he's not this year, he's next year. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because he's going to get money from somewhere, whether it's Golden State or elsewhere. But anyway,
so, you'll be curious to see how long they stay together, that group. You know, I mean, Durant, he may leave. You know, within a few weeks, right? I mean, he may be out of there after the season.
Well, let me tell you, if I'm Durant, I am leaving. And I saw that 60 Minutes thing. I just got the feeling, Sam and I talked about this, you know, for a few minutes on one of the recent episodes. I get the feeling that there's a little bit of animosity there. I mean, it's like...
I can't stand that guy.
Which one?
Durant.
You can't stand Durant?
I can't stand Durant.
I mean, he
rubs me the wrong way. He's so insecure. He drives me nuts.
Yeah, with the Twitter stuff, the Twitter profiles and all that.
He's such a freak, man. And you know what really turned me out was that whole bit about his mother. He loves his mother. We get it. We all love our mothers. God, I couldn't stand that. Get out of here with that. Yeah, I'm sick of seeing his ma. Big moon pie face on a TV every time I watch one of these games.
Oh, it was like back in the day when Brett Favre would be Monday Night Football and all you'd see is Deanna Favre like, nonstop.
I know. When I think about that now, it drives me nuts.
Oh, man. Yeah, so moving on to the conference finals. Obviously, you're going to take Golden State. Who do you got, just if you had to pick, who do you got, Milwaukee or Toronto?
I'm going to say Milwaukee, man. I think they're really humming. I think that Toronto depends a lot on Kawhi and... Yeah, he's a great player, but I just think he's not great enough to carry them completely. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So Milwaukee and Toronto in recent history, neither one of these teams has been a big playoff performer. And so, You know, if Philadelphia got to the conference finals, I'd be a little bit concerned for Milwaukee. Not that Philadelphia has been a great performer either, but just, you know, psychologically, I would have had issues, but both of these teams are kind of like in equal footing. And so I look at it, I think, like, you know, Kawhi Leonard basically won the series. Philadelphia didn't have an answer for him.
Right.
You know, Milwaukee, that's not going to be the case with Milwaukee. I think that Milwaukee, and I'll get to the games in a bit. Hold on, let me actually look at the Bovada odds right now. Just in futures right now. So we're down to four teams. We have Golden State at -175. You have Milwaukee at -250. Toronto at +700. You have Portland at +1600, which Portland is an afterthought. You know, I think it's going to be a high-scoring five-game series, basically, maybe four-game series for Golden State and Toronto.
Yeah, I don't think Portland has anything to offer.
I think Milwaukee win the series, but I think they might lose the first game because Toronto's a little bit not fresher, obviously, because Milwaukee's been there, but they've played more recent. So Milwaukee might be a little rusty. They're playing at home. You know, there's a lot of hype behind them with after just basically dismantling Boston in five games or something like that.
Yeah.
And if I look at once again at the Bovada odds. We have Golden State, just the game ones here, and this is Tuesday night. Yeah, Brad, you and I are recording on Tuesday, so by the time this airs, this game will be over. But it's Golden State -7.5 at home to Portland. And then you have on Wednesday night, the day this episode will drop, so some people might be listening to this before, you have Milwaukee -6. So where would you go? Golden State -7.5, Milwaukee -6. Who do you like in those games?
I actually like both the favorites, to be honest. I think I do think Milwaukee is humming. Golden State always hums, and I like both the favorites.
I'm gonna take Toronto. I'm sorry. I'm gonna take Toronto in an upset to win Game One, just like a little bit of a hangover game for Milwaukee, and then they'll get together, almost like Milwaukee did in that Boston series.
With Boston, yeah, right. I could see that.
Yeah, like, and maybe because they had that experience with Boston, maybe they'll be dialed in and focused, but it's hard for me to think that over a seven-game series that Milwaukee, with their defense, the defense that they play, and Giannis basically being the equal to Kawhi Leonard, it's hard for me to believe that Toronto, having watched everybody just stand around and watch Kawhi Leonard, you know, for a couple of weeks, I just can't see Toronto getting past Milwaukee. But, you know, like I said, in the Eastern Conference all year, I've been getting everything wrong. So,
wow, you know, this is like the third or fourth year in a row Toronto has made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, is it not?
No, I think they've been stubbing their toe in the second round year after year because LeBron's been taking them out.
Yes, LeBron is taking them out every year. I believe you're right, but I know last year weren't they in the conference finals?
No, I thought it was Cleveland,
Boston,
in Boston last year. You know, I thought it went seven games, and then Cleveland, you know, blew game one of the finals. So.
Yeah, they did blow that one. J.R. Smith, piece of crap. That was the.
That was so stupid, right? You got to know what timeouts you have.
Oh my god! And then that call against LeBron, where they didn't give him the credit for the charge on the possession before that. I was upset about that for like 2 weeks.
Did you have money on the game?
No, I don't think I did. But not because I wanted Cleveland to win so much, but I wanted a series.
Yeah.
And if they booked that first game, then we kind of would have had one possibly. But as soon as that one went under. You know, and it was such a deflating manner. You knew that was it. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I didn't think it was going to be much of a finals anyway. But I remember actually talking about this with Sam. I think I'm not sure if this podcast was in existence or not at that point. But I remember talking to Sam on the podcast, saying, "Man, it's just like it's Golden State. It's Golden State in four."
Yeah, right.
And maybe I gave Cleveland one game, but it just didn't see a finals. And I was, you know, Sam and I were having our usual argument about how Durant being on Golden State has ruined the NBA for me because it's not interesting because Golden State wins every year. Well, I got to say, you know, calf strain, who knows what's going to happen with that. But I think he'll be back, Durant, you know, fairly soon.
Let me say this. I don't think that they're any worse in any way without Durant. And I also don't think they're any better. This may be the first time in history that, I mean,
well,
anyone
my argument,
could have that opinion. I mean, they fly high, man, and they just choose to have a different brand of ball when he's not in there. And it's a friggin' amazing type of ball, is it not?
I say, you know, just from a competitor standpoint, I thought it was weak that Durant went there. Like, I wouldn't have made that move because I wouldn't have felt like my titles counted. I wouldn't have felt like I earned them, you know? And that's just my mentality. Not to say Durant is wrong to not have that mentality. That's just how I feel about it personally. You know, I'm too competitive, so I wouldn't have wanted to go to the champion. Now, let's say I'm like a, you know, Gary Payton, you know, back when he went to the Lakers and tried to do that super team. When you're old and you're desperate for a ring, you know, I have a little bit more leeway. But when you're supposed to be like the guy, you know, the second best player in the NBA to LeBron at that point, I just thought it was a little weak. So, but to your point about how Golden State, are they worse? I mean, I guess, yeah, they're worse because, you know, I guess in theory, but I know what you're saying because the argument I make to Sam, I think he said, you know, Durant's won MVPs, he's been in the finals, yada, yada. I say, well, what I said was big deal. If Durant wasn't in those finals where he won the MVP, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or somebody else would have won it. You know,
right, exactly.
They would have won the finals and somebody else would have won it. And
that's
so
also, go ahead.
I was going to say, so this coming episode, when I talk to Sam, it's going to be interesting because I said, look, you know, we're going to see. And I think I said this last week, even because the injury was there for Durant. I said, we're going to see, you know, because this is the argument I've been making all season. Am I going to have to own it up or am I going to look like an idiot? Like if Golden State doesn't win the finals this year, then I was wrong. If they win the finals this year, you know, I think Durant will be back by then. But if they win the finals again this year, they already won game six without Durant against, you know, probably the second best team in the league.
Right.
Depending on how you feel about Milwaukee and Toronto.
The thing about basketball is it's an interesting sport because there really is not enough ball to go around. So you could put Harden on that team. And I honestly don't think it'd be any better because there's only a certain amount of possessions and there's only 24 seconds on the shot clock, right? So you can't distribute enough basketball for all these players, which is one of the reasons why I think even with Durant out, well, that's just more time for Steph Curry to do his thing and Klay Thompson and on we go.
There's only one player in the top 10 who I think could end up resulting in Golden State not winning the title if he went there, and that's Russell Westbrook.
Good call.
Yeah, because you're saying there's only so many basketballs to go around and they're a ball movement team. Russell Westbrook would break that whole thing.
Oh, that guy. He should just have a team of his own. He can get his own rebounds. He can pass to himself. It'd be a dream come true for him.
That's the thing. So that's an argument my brother-in-law have because my brother-in-law is very pro Westbrook. And I say Westbrook's never going to win anything of significance because he's just psychologically as a sportsman, he just doesn't do what he has to do to win games. You know, you got to keep your team engaged, especially as a ball distributor, point guard, ball handler. You got to move the ball around. You got to make people – that's leadership. And Westbrook doesn't really have that.
Dude, Westbrook is a one-speed jackhammer, right? I mean, he just has one – he has one speed and one mechanism. But life requires nuance and self-awareness, and you have to – ascertain and you have to know what time it is, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be the funniest guy in your crew, man, but if you're sitting in a business meeting and you're asking the boss to pull your finger, they're gonna be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the barbecue on Sunday, that's all good. But there's different moments to act accordingly in different ways. And he has no idea, dude. He's got no perception or self-awareness, and he's never going to win a thing. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't think so. So, like, my brother-in-law says, oh, you know, so what? So even if you produced, even if you cloned Westbrook, because, you know, he goes through these theoretical tangents sometimes, and he's like, you know, if you clone Russell Westbrook and you put five Russell Westbrooks out there, they're not going to win a title? And I say, no. How do they decide which one's going to shoot, you know?
Right. Right.
You know, then you basically you have one happy Russell Westbrook and then four sulking Russell Westbrooks on every possession.
Right.
You know, how are they all going to get a triple double? They're going to devour each other. I think they'll actually get in a fist fight on the court, that team.
The symbol or the epitome of them not winning anything is every time he gets a triple double.
Yeah.
That is not what you want for success.
Mm-mm.
Look, the guy's an amazing athlete. I don't think I've ever seen anyone get to the rim as quick as he can. Dude, when he leaves his feet to the time from the ground to the rim, it's incredible.
Oh, he's a star. No question.
He's a star, right? We're not questioning that, right? He's an athletic freak and he's amazing. But Jesus Christ, man, switch up your game a little bit depending on the situation. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day watching it must have been Thunder Heat, like in the first finals or something like that. But I remember watching the Thunder in the finals, and you know, I dial in at playoff time towards the end of the season, and I didn't know too much about Oklahoma City. I hadn't watched him a lot. And I watched him, and I saw Harden coming off the bench, and I saw Westbrook taking all the shots away from Durant. And I'm like, they need to trade Westbrook because they can get a lot for him. And Harden, at that point in his career, was, you know, acquiescing to Durant. You know, it was obvious that when Harden was on the floor, that was a tough, potent combination. Can you imagine if, man, it like even Serge Ibaka was on that team? They had a good team, man. They just traded
what
the wrong guy.
What a team that was. They traded the wrong guy.
That should have been the Golden State team, man. Can you imagine? Just picture this, that same team, but you trade Russell Westbrook for, I'm not sure how the years line up off the top of my head, but at that point, just trade Russell Wilson for Steph Curry straight up. Then you got Curry, Durant, and believe me, Golden State would have taken that trade. Everybody would have taken that trade, and they would have, like, you know, back then, they would have criticized that move as being, you know, lunacy if something like that happened. America's pastime is back, the smell of the grass, the crack of the bat, and now that sensation of money burning a hole in your pocket. Yahoo Daily Fantasy Contests bring you closer than ever to the game you love. Yahoo Daily Fantasy offers single day and week-long contests so you can pick a new team every single day if you like, and I like it. To get started, go to yahoo.com/dailyfantasy and find a contest that's right for you. Try a 50-50 contest where 50% of the lineups win, or you can try Yahoo's innovated quick match feature where they'll pair you with another player of your skill level. And that's a big thing. You know, a lot of the daily fantasy providers out there, they get nailed because there are some sharks out there taking advantage. You don't get that with Yahoo. Or play for larger prizes and bigger bragging rights and guaranteed prize pool contests. Yahoo Daily Fantasy also has the lowest management fees across the industry. Don't play with the other sites that charge high fees just to get in on the action. Yahoo's lower fees mean more prizes for you, the players, and of course, the winning. Use promo code POD25 for $25 off in free play when you make your first deposit. The sooner you get to playing, the sooner you can get to winning. Go to, once again, everybody, it's yahoo.com/dailyfantasy to start playing. That promo code for that free $25, it's POD25. Very minimal account entry to get in there. Go ahead. Once again, POD25, it's yahoo.com/dailyfantasy. It's time to place your bets with RJ Bell's Dream Preview on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get the real scoop from the betting expert himself as he shares the hottest tips during the NBA Finals. Download the new episode of RJ Bell's Dream Preview every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Let's move it over to NFL, Brad. Before we get, because I want to talk about running backs. I want to do like what we did a while ago about the top five quarterbacks. I want to do that for running backs.
Okay.
I was looking. I went to Over the Cap. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. I just love the website. It's a great reference if you're kind of like a stat geek and a contract geek like I am. And I was going to the running back salaries, which we'll get to later. And then I saw the 2020 compensatory pick projections. Right. So they're not awarded yet, but Over the Cap has a pretty good inclination of what the formula is for teams to get. I mean, they're usually very, very accurate with who gets the picks. And so I was reading through these, and they project New England, Brad, to get 2 third-round picks, compensatory picks.
Okay.
They project Baltimore to get a third-round pick. They project Philadelphia to get a third-round pick. These teams, year over year, keep just accumulating draft picks through the compensatory pick program. But you know who you don't see, you know, after these teams get these picks? You don't see, like, Buffalo, or you don't see, like, let me look and see Oakland. Oakland's not on there. You know, all these teams that like are always like kind of making these splashes, they never get compensatory picks. And all the teams that are always in the playoffs and always competing always accumulate compensatory picks. I don't understand how teams can't figure out, don't spend high in free agency, wait, sign guys that are waived if you're going to make a big splash, just wait, and then get the compensatory picks.
You know what these teams should do, and this is an assumption on my part, but it's what I see and what I notice. If you want to be a lawyer, you need to go intern at a law office, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be a dental hygienist, then you need to go get a job there and see what they do and figure out if you like it. I feel like these teams, they're trying to outthink Belichick, right? They're trying to be better. They're trying to do better. Don't be better and outthink. Figure out what he's doing and do that, right?
Yeah,
if you want to be an entrepreneur, then learn from a leading entrepreneur. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't go against the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. The funny thing is, like, Belichick too, people forget that because of his time, Belichick's time in Cleveland, and his influence that he had over Cleveland. Cleveland's now in Baltimore. Baltimore does the same thing, and they compete year in and year out using a lot of the methodology that Bill Belichick put into place And after, by the way, also having learned some stuff from Bill Parcells. So, I mean,
there's a leader in every industry, right? So why should the NFL be any different?
Yeah.
So just learn from them and try to follow what they're doing. And you can make your own little tweaks here and there. But the basic formula they have figured out, man. And they have been running that game plan for 20 years. And why would you think that your way would be any better when you're winning 3 games a year?
I know.
Right? I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
It's absolute lunacy. I'll never understand it.
All right. Well, let's get over to running backs. I just wanted to get your thought, Brad. And again, you're coming from a gambler point of view. And so we're just talking about like talented running backs you would want to have on your team, right? And you know, age probably will do the same thing we did with the quarterback. You know, age isn't that big, and age is a huge factor in running backs. But you know, we just think about the what running back would you want to have on your team for the next 2 years, and you know, that way, just you know, it takes out if you're like you're 29 and you don't have to worry about the over 30 situation and all that stuff. So I wanted to get, and I think I have one on my list that you're not going to have anywhere close to your list. So I think there's kind of one surprise. We're probably going to be close, and then. As we read through some of the guys, because I do think there's going to be overlap, I'm going to talk about their contract and their salary cap number for 2019 as well. But Brad, you know, I'll just go ahead and start. The obvious one that's going to be on everybody's list. He's not, by the way, number one on my list, but Todd Gurley.
what are you asking me? Would I take him?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah. Would love Todd Gurley for sure. I got to preface this conversation by saying I'm not a running back guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're as valuable as they once were. And on my team, I would give all my money to everybody except the running back.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we saw last year Philip Lindsay wasn't even drafted, and he was a pretty dynamic. He was probably Denver's best offensive player last year.
I mean, getting back to the Patriots and what they do, that's exactly what they do, man. They have 4 running backs in 5 games, and one was bagging groceries 3 weeks ago. And then he plays well, and then he's off bagging them again. It's like it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, it's basically if New England, if you fumble, you're just not going to play again until everybody else fumbles.
Yeah,
you have to wait for 4 other guys to fumble in a game before you get a snap.
It's true.
It's like such like negative reinforcement, that Belichick.
Yeah, he drives off here. What a dick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think these days, man, a running back is far more valuable if he has brains and he can pick up the blitz and concepts and make blocks, and as opposed to simply breaking a 60-yarder. I don't even know if we see that very often anymore. I mean, it's just like that used to be the name of the game. Get it to your high-powered running back, and eventually he's going to break one. Adrian Peterson 10 years ago, Barry Sanders before that. That's really not the brand of ball we see anymore.
Yeah, it's not. And but, you know, Todd Gurley is a little bit of an old school player, but that's really because of the system. You know, McVay commits to the run. Not a lot of people do that anymore. You know, Pittsburgh is another one that commits to the run, although, you know, we can talk about Le'Veon Bell maybe in a little bit. But, you know, Todd Gurley is 25 years old. His contract, though, man, is worth $57 million total. Let me look at his 2019 number. His 2019 number is $9.2 million of salary cap. So what happens when they pay Jared Goff? Because they have to pay Jared Goff.
I'll tell you what happens. All those defensive stars go bye-bye.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's the wrong position to give any money to. And, okay, so I'm not saying Todd Gurley's not worth it, but let him go be worth it for some other team. That'd be my take on it.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I don't like it. I think it's going to hamstring the team. But because they have a year or two before they have to pay out Goff, they do have this Super Bowl window. So you know, for their sake, I hope they win it.
When was the last team with the best running back in the league won the title because of that running back? Denver, 1998.
Yeah, I think that's the argument. The other one I can think of is Falk, but I don't think they won it because of Falk. And in fact, they lost a Super Bowl because they didn't include Falk to the Patriots that year.
I'm sitting here dumping on the position. That's not really, you know, what the conversation is about.
No, but you make a good point, man. It's been 20 years since a top running back has really. I'm trying to think, man. I'm racking my brain because I mean, thankfully we can just think of the Patriots because that's about half of our adult life, and I can't remember them.
Right.
They had Corey Dillon. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't the top running back in the league. you know, Le'Veon Bell maybe was kind of, I don't even think he was at, no, he wasn't, because that was before Le'Veon Bell when they played Arizona. Damn, man.
It's turned into a throwing league and a scheme league. And there isn't a lot of scheme involved with running the ball.
Yeah.
That's more of a power thing and a ground and pound thing. And that's kind of gone by the wayside. And yeah. I don't, you know, it's like in basketball, no one plays with their back to the basket anymore. There's no center. The offense doesn't revolve around the center. Everything is fast, fast, fly. You know, and now I think maybe even the most effective running backs are catching out of the backfield. Like that that bloke over in Carolina. What's his name? Charlie Murphy? What's that guy's name?
Yeah, Charlie Murphy. Christian Ricky McCaffrey. Who's
all, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, who is close to number one on my list, I think.
Yeah. He balls, man, in his own little way, for sure.
Check this out. So the Rams, I have Bavada. The Rams are at plus 1,100. Just speaking of like Super Bowl odds and all that stuff, this is futures for the next Super Bowl. Interestingly enough, I mean, that number's come down. I haven't been paying too much of attention lately, but, you know, Cleveland, as we talked about last week, is only at plus 1,200. You have Indianapolis at plus 1,300. New England and New Orleans are at plus 700 and 900. So those are the two favorites right now.
Let me give you the top rushing yards per game last year, okay? Ezekiel Elliott, all right, Dallas. They went pretty far in the playoffs. They made it to round two, didn't they?
Yep.
Okay, all right, and Todd Gurley, all right, and they went to the Super Bowl. All right, so that kind of proves me wrong. But then the next one on the list is Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. Hmm. Chris Carson. I never even heard of that guy.
Seattle,
yeah. Saquon Barkley and New York Giants. Marlon Mack in Indy. James Conner in Pittsburgh. Missed playoffs. I'm not saying they don't have an impact, but I don't think it's as great as it once was.
Yeah, but Hurd came out with the stat, the top six paid quarterbacks.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
And I think this comes down to is you got to be fiscally responsible, right?
Like, yeah. Yes, right.
You know,
how many players are worth that much, regardless of position?
Right.
How many?
Well, quarterback, the race to quarterback, which I completely get and understand and support even, I think it's getting out of hand. I think at this point, teams have to say, hey, I'm not giving you 10% of our salary cap. Like Dak Prescott, to me, is the line in the sand for the NFL. Like he cannot get, no offense to Dak Prescott, but he can't get $30 million a year.
Nah, they're never going to win a thing.
They're never going to win a thing with him getting $30 million a year.
Can't there be a way for these guys to at least step back and say, okay, you know what? I also want to win. Maybe I take, you know, I don't know, $10 million less on my contract and we figure out a way for me to make it up somewhere else. I don't know. Says the guy who's not being offered $30 million, but you know,
yeah.
Or 3 cents really. But I don't know. It is getting out of hand. I totally agree. You know, the one thing I disagree with Rodgers about is that he gets paid so much.
Yeah.
Not that he doesn't deserve it, but Jesus, man, how many, you know, $230 million versus $260? Is there a difference to that?
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Says the guy who's not a millionaire, but I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe that matters, but I would assume it doesn't.
Yeah. Getting back to the old list here, I like Christian McCaffrey, who we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his rookie deal, though, so he's pretty low. His cap number, let's see, his cap number for next year is $4 million, which I think is reasonable for somebody who produces what he produces. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's 13th in terms of 2019 cap number, which isn't bad. But Carolina, I mean, just to kind of, I guess, further illustrate your point, Bavada has them at plus 5,500 for this Super Bowl right now, which, you know, isn't great.
No, it's not great. Well, they're going to be an 800 team as long as Cam Newton has emotions. Highs and lows, brother. Welcome to life, jackass. Get it together.
I actually think you mentioned Zeke. I actually think he is the best running back in the league. I think if you put
yes,
in terms of just talent, I don't like him. Smaller. You know, I think he's kind of a turd. But you know, if you put him on the Rams, I think he could outproduce Gurley. Where Dallas is at? Dallas is at plus 2,000. By the way, Bavada has him at. Mm-hmm. So not bad. Who else do I have on here? So we talked about Gurley. Saquon Barkley, I think, is pretty damn good. Have you actually watched him? I know you're not crazy about running backs that catch the ball and all that stuff. Have you watched him play?
I honestly haven't watched him in a game. I see the highlights. The guy flies. He's absolutely brilliant. He's got a different speed than the rest of the guys. That's what I see when I look at him.
You're right. He looks to me like Christian McCaffrey is kind of a similar player. At least when I look at him, right? They can run and they can catch, and they're such a big part of the offense now, especially with Beckham going to New York. New York's not going to really do anything this year, unfortunately for them, but. Barkley, gosh, man, he's a monster.
He's thick.
He reminds me of just his ability of a maybe not as shifty version of Marshall Faulk, but faster. So Marshall Faulk was more elusive, I think, but Saquon Barkley has more explosive ability.
Yes, he is special, man. It looks different when he's running with the ball.
You're exactly right. So like him again, you know, I just think about like because I think the best system for a running back to be in is the Rams of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I just think about like if you put Saquon on that team that likes to throw the ball. And Gurley's a good receiver, man, but Saquon Barkley is just another. It's almost like, you remember Westbrook for Philadelphia back then? Was it Brian Westbrook?
Yeah, it was
Brian Westbrook. What do you do? Like, he can run, and he can line up as a receiver and catch.
Right.
It's such a weapon. You don't see a lot of those types of guys come across. Like, as good as Zeke is and as good as Gurley is or as good as they are at catching the ball, Barkley's, like you said, it's just a different gear.
Yeah, he's a different cat. I don't imagine there's anything that he couldn't do that would have a major impact on that team.
Yeah, Bavada has the Giants, by the way, at plus 8,000 currently.
So. Oh, my God. Oof.
Not a lot of people betting that. So what do I have? Gurley, Barkley, McCaffrey, Zeke. So I have a tie for my number five here. Le'Veon Bell, just because I'm thinking, like, we haven't seen him. I don't love him. I don't love that New York paid him as much as he had. Let me look at his cap number, by the way. Le'Veon Bell's cap number for 2019 is $8.9 million. That's a lot, especially a guy that's basically one slip up away from being suspended for an entire season.
I don't love that at all for the Jets, dude.
I don't like it. I don't think he's going to be a fit there, man.
You know what that reminds me of? It's like it's like paying a bunch for icing, right? But you got no cake yet. You know, you haven't baked the cake and got the ingredients and cooked that bad boy. But all you got is a bunch of icing, man. And you're going to get a little sick if you start eating that.
You don't see a ton of compensatory picks, by the way, for the Jets. So I know exactly what you're saying. And I don't think Bell is a fit in the Adam Gase system, personally. We'll see. I think his talent will help him. I don't think he's going to be a bust. But I know he's going to be overdrafted this year in fantasy circles, which, you know, we'll bring that up in the preview, but
dude, build if you're the Jets, man, sure up that O line, mm-hmm. sure up that D line, and sure up the cornerbacks first and foremost. Yeah. You know, protect your quarterbacks, stop the other quarterbacks, name of the game, and then when those things are figured out, maybe get yourself a running game if you have enough money left over. But man, I don't see that working out for them at all.
Yeah,
plus
I mean, you
got that googly eyed coach.
Yeah, I know he does have good. You're right.
Yeah, dude, that guy is something else.
He looks like one of those inflatable guys that you see at the car dealership.
Yeah, he does. It looks like he took acid or something, and he's trying to figure it out.
He's like he's in a state of perpetual surprise every time I see a picture of him. He's like, huh?
When they're at a press conference and he's got the googly eyes shifting all around, I lost it. That was incredible. I'm gonna look at that right now.
Like he ate like a pot brownie. He ate a pot brownie, and he's worried that everybody's gonna he's gonna get a blood test, and so he just keeps looking for the pee guy. He's looking side to side. Oh, Adam Gase. The Jets, by the way, they're Bavada has them at plus 7,000 for the season, so they're not high on them either, which I don't think any of us are, especially when you play in a division with the Patriots. The other guy I have on my list that probably a lot of people aren't talking about is I love Nick Chubb. From Cleveland, man.
Yeah, I give him a little dap, dude. I think they can ball over there. I like him too.
When he got an opportunity, he would reel off like consistent like 60, 70-yard touchdowns. I think he's, from a talent point of view, I don't know if his hands are good, so I still give like Gurley the benefit of the doubt there. But I think if you swap Chubb out for Gurley, I don't think you'd be missing that much if you're a Rams fan. I know any Rams fans out there is like, you're crazy. But I'm telling you, man, I'm with you. Chubb is good.
I think he's going to get better as soon as that offense starts playing a little better, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen because they signed Cleveland, they signed Kareem Hunt, and they have Duke Johnson still. I don't know if the opportunity is going to be there, but that back half of the season when they got that you know, that head coach, I can't remember his name. Who is it? Freddie Kitchens. When he got that job and Baker Mayfield, they unleashed him. Chubb was running. I had him in fantasy, man, and that guy took me to the playoffs. He was so good. Him and Marlon Mack, they were like my best back half, you know, waiver pickups and stuff. So it was excellent. But I like Chubb a lot. But let me go back, Brad, to the numbers here. So Le'Veon Bell, I said he's the number four salary cap number next year, 8.9. Number three, Brad, salary cap number, LeSean McCoy.
Oh wow!
Ouch. Ouch, that hurts.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
Lamar Miller's in the top 10, if you can believe that.
Mm-hmm, I believe it.
Devonta Freeman.
Yeah,
Jerick McKinnon's up there, which we don't know what he'll be in San Francisco yet. You know, Melvin Gordon is next. I think he's outside the top 10 there just barely, but I like Melvin Gordon a lot.
I do too, man. I like his style.
Deion Lewis is right below Melvin Gordon. I'm surprised his number's that high, but he did just sign a big deal with Tennessee prior to last season, so... Yeah, James White. James White, the Patriots drafted a running back this year. I think James White's days in New England are numbered. I don't think they like paying $4.6 million to James White.
Oh, I can't imagine they do.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's enough of that, man. Do you have anything else for the listeners out there?
No, I'm looking forward to tonight's game one. That can Portland provide any type of resistance to the Golden State machine? I don't think they can, but it'd be interesting if they did.
You know, I think they'll pull the trigger. I think there are going to be a couple games this series where maybe they don't win, but they'll cover the spread. It would not shock me if they cover the spread tonight. But I'll take Golden State. I'm not gonna have the stones to lay down and say. Let me check once again. I think Bovada has them at Portland at plus 7.5 at the moment. Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lay down and say that that Portland will be able to pull that out, but it wouldn't shock me. Let me say it that way. I wouldn't, as a bettor, I'm not betting on Golden State to cover the game. I'm just staying away from it because I have a feeling about Portland. I don't feel good about it, and so if I don't feel good about it, I just don't do it. But I do like Toronto. I do like Toronto to at least cover the spread, but I'm going to take them in a game one upset.
Okay, to cover the spread or to win?
To win. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take the money line on them. But
wow.
Let me make this perfectly clear to our listeners out there. I have sucked ass with Eastern Conference basketball betting all year. It has plagued me all year, so don't listen to me. NFL, hey man, Brad and I hit over 65% when we agree. I think we're closer to 70% last year. We're good at the NFL. Basketball, where I think we're just really talking here at this point.
Yeah, right. Not our wheelhouse. It's okay.
Yep. Yep. Hey man, be an expert in something and then know what you know and know what you don't know, right?
Good call.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening. Go out, have a great week, get paid.